The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 12th of December, 2017. To all of our Jewish friends, Happy Hanukkah, which I believe starts tonight. So Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends out there. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. I've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. What a full hour we have. We're going to begin with Terry Goddard, then we have Shelley Fishman with our financial report, our Tuesday Moneymaker report, and then 12:30 to 1, our annual Southwest Books of the Year. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's competition. Democrat Terry Goddard is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Goddard, a former two-term Arizona Attorney General, has launched a campaign against so-called dark money by calling for any amount over $10,000 spent in connection with a campaign to have its root source fully disclosed. Terry Goddard, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm great and really getting involved in trying to get Arizona's signatures on a petition to put this matter on the ballot for next year.
Tell us about this initiative effort.
Well, obviously we're trying to shine a light on what's called dark money. That means cash that's spent trying to influence your vote and mine, but the people behind that donation try to stay secret. And in Arizona, that's perfectly legal. We've got one of the most unrestrictive, one of the most wide open, permissive environments for dark money in the country. And as a result, we've got some of the most high penetration of successful uses of anonymous cash in elections. All but one of our statewide elected officials right now use substantial amounts of dark money in order to win their race, and the leadership and the legislature all used significant amounts of dark money in their campaigns. So it's made a big impact in Arizona, and I think that needs to stop. And I've got a lot of people that agree with me.
What's your paperwork? What do you need as far as petition signatures, and what's the deadline to get this initiative on the ballot for the November election?
Well, there's a lot of paperwork. You put your finger on the biggest obstacle, which is 300,000 approximately valid signatures. The legal number is about 255.
That's huge. Safe. That's a lot of signatures.
It's a whole lot. There's no question. And they have to be filed by the end of June, 1st of July of next year. So we've got some time, but we're going to have to use every day productively. We've got to get about 1,000 signatures a day to meet that total.
Governor Ducey, when he was asked, I think the Capitol Media Services asked him to weigh in on the side of, well, just to ask him his opinion of the effort, and he said, I think people have a First Amendment right as well to participate and not be bullied into disclosing where the money comes from, basically.
Well, we thought we'd take that position. I mean, the governor benefited from over $8 million in anonymous cash in his last election run. And he's been a frequent speaker at the Koch brothers' annual get-together for dark money contributors and beneficiaries. So his position is no surprise. But I do take exception to his statement. There is no right to hide in the Constitution. There is no right to participate in a political debate, but to keep your identity secret. And the Supreme Court has been very, very strong on that particular point, including the case that has caused most of this uproar, and that's Citizens United. It opened up the door for corporate spending in campaigns and made the total budgets much bigger. But Justice Kennedy, in that opinion, said very clearly that he thought the antidote for more money in politics was clear and open disclosure. And he makes it absolutely abundantly clear that the majority of the Supreme Court, in fact, I think every member, but perhaps two, are very outspoken that disclosure is constitutional, is not a violation of any First Amendment rights. And just to be double safe, this initiative petition has a provision that if, in fact, you fear bodily harm as a result of being identified with a particular cause, that you can petition the regulator to have your name not revealed. So we've got a safety valve in the petition as well.
So the initiative would require that all, quote, original sources of donations be identified. What would that be? What would be the original sources, in your opinion?
Well, that's sort of the key to the whole thing. In other words, what's being hidden from the voters today is who's really behind these ads. And we all see them. Most of them are attack ads. And at the bottom of disclosure, it says, paid for by Citizens for Good Government, or Citizens for a Better Arizona, or, you know, fill in the blanks. They're always very good-sounding names that don't mean a thing. And that's because they're mostly 501c4s. They're perfectly legal, but they are organizations that hide the identity of their donors. And that's what we're trying to get to. So what this provision would do, if it were enacted by the voters of Arizona, was it would say, okay, if you're going to spend $10,000 to influence an election or more, then you have to disclose the original source of all of your major contributions. And a major contribution is defined as $2,500 or more. So the original source is the person who earned the money or the corporation that earned the money. In other words, the person that that essentially put the pieces together, not the one that simply received a gift or a transfer from one side and transferred it over to somebody else. Those are out there, and that's the way that the Koch brothers and others are hiding their money that they try to use to influence politics in Arizona and all over the country.
Sometimes you have very small donors, and this is then packaged into kind of a large group. How would the initiative deal with that?
Well, if it's under $2,500, it specifically says the name and address do not have to be disclosed. So the initiative is frankly aimed at the big money players, the ones that are trying to influence whole state elections with tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And we've seen that here in Arizona, where one contributor with one of these anonymous names, one of these sort of feel-good names, has put many hundreds of thousands of dollars into cases. In the case of Governor Ducey, several of those organizations put together amounted to about $8 million in his campaign for governor. So, you know, they've had a big impact here in Arizona.
We're speaking with former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard, spearheading this push against dark money. What would you say that is Arizona ground zero for the dark money area?
We are, Bill. We are the poster child for dark money in America. All but one of our statewide elected officials were elected with dark money. Most of, if not all, of our legislative leaders took significant amounts of dark money, and it's percolating down to city governments and even school boards, so that where anonymous contributions are beginning to rule the day. And I believe, along with Justice Kennedy of the Supreme Court, that our antidote, our constitutional antidote, is to make sure that at least we know who's writing the check, who the original contributor was that resulted in these ads. And I mentioned that they're negative. Maybe they're not every one negative, but almost all are. And we all know what happens when you disassociate the person that's responsible from a statement on the internet or any place else. The result usually becomes vicious and attacking, and the kind of thing that's degraded politics in America.
As a prominent Democrat, how do you see the field? You've got Steve Farley and Professor Garcia, the two Democrats who look like they'll be facing off in the primary in the governor's race. Do you think it's looking better for Democrats this cycle?
Well, we'll see what happens later today in Alabama.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I know you led with that news story, and, yep. And I've got my fingers crossed for candidate Jones. But the bottom line is this is I can't really answer that question. I hope it is as a Democrat, but what I'm promoting here, this petition is definitely nonpartisan. We have strong Republican support as well as Democratic and independent support. We've done some polling that shows that Arizonans in the mid-80s to high to 90% believe that dark money is evil, that it needs to be gotten rid of, and that they will take the steps necessary to do that. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think this is a Democrat or Republican effort.
Right.
It is just an effort to try to get the trash out of Arizona politics, and I think this is the way we start.
How do folks find out more, Terry Goddard?
Well, they can go online. We have a catchy name, which is outlaw, dirtymoney.com.
Okay.
And if they would do that, that's a way to find out more, to get to see a copy of the actual petition that we're passing, and volunteer to come in and help us. This is a volunteer effort. You know, you've probably heard about efforts at the last minute that are paying people to sign, to gather signatures for petitions, but we believe that this needs to be an expression spontaneously from people in Arizona, and they're right now we're taking them out the door as fast as we can print them, but I hope to be able to spread them through Pima County very soon.
All right, Terry Goddard, good to reconnect with you. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season, Terry.
Thank you, and to you and your listeners.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show after I tell you, and gladly so, about Green Things. Get into the holiday spirit at Green Things. Everything you need to decorate for your home for the holidays. Poinsettias are they're going fast. They started with about 25,000, but still got plenty for you to choose from. A great variety at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website as well, greenthingsaz.com. Shelley Fishman is up next, and he just gave me in studio a big thumbs up. We'll find out how high is high right after this.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Plus, downtown Tucson looking very Christmassy. We'll get the update on Buckmaster airing noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and of course on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we have all of our worldwide live listening, the podcasts, and the archive.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, it looks like Christmas is coming early to Wall Street.
Christmas has been coming since last November.
Yeah,
9.
I mean, my goodness. We're less than 2 weeks away. The market's having a very, very good day.
Actually, the Nasdaq's down a little bit, but the S&P and the Dow are up again. Triple digits on the Dow. It's 150 or so points. And we're not seeing a lot of other volatility during the day. It's tough to square that with a Fed Open Market Committee meeting that is going to raise rates another quarter point. Normally that drives down the market.
Oh, yeah, normally that'd be a big negative.
Right, I think what's really going to be important is not this interest rate increase, but the words that kind of are talked about in the surround of that.
Yeah, they craft their message after the market closes tomorrow, then everyone kind of interprets it, right?
Well, and they speak languages. this is econometric speak, and it's intended to give the cognoscenti the right hints, but for the rest of us, it is intended to be Sanskrit.
Well, we'll have to wait next Tuesday for your interpretation.
Well, what's important, I think this is Janet Yellen's last meeting.
Yeah.
What we'll see is the influence of the new Fed chair, the Fed chair-to-be, to see if he contradicts or he takes a contrary position or says things that would lead you to believe that the policies that we've had now for the past 7 or 8 years will continue. And the betting among economists is that there won't be any major changes.
I think everyone is waiting, though, to see what is going to happen before the end of the year on the tax reform effort.
Well, the market's built that in. The market really believes that corporate taxes are going to be lowered. Mm-hmm. I don't think the market much cares about individual taxes. But the idea that we could bring marginal or nominal rates from 35 down to 20% will result, if not in a significant movement in growth of the GDP, it will certainly result in higher profits. And after all, what the market measures is profitability. So from that perspective, we've had a good year profit-wise. It has been not spectacular, but awfully good. We have an unemployment picture that is showing full unemployment or full employment without costing corporations a lot of money because we're not seeing large wage increases. So, you know, that kind of combines to really give the corporations the boost they need. We're not seeing a lot of capital investment, even though there's a lot of cash equivalency out there. We say this kind of every week. We're not seeing a lot of new plants being built. We're not seeing a lot of expansion. However, the demand is being met. Prices are remaining flat. Inflation is virtually flat. And so corporations are able to produce what they need to meet demand and do so in a way that is not inflationary. You would think that it'd be a really good thing, and the market thinks it's a very good thing. The problem, however, is that what we see is increasing income disparity. We've seen this now for years, and that income disparity is holding the middle class in a place that is not necessarily a good place. Because of low inflation, and in some cases, deflation in the stuff that people buy every day. I mean, you know, think of buying a television or think of buying a personal communications device. That stuff has come down in price.
Yes, it has.
And, you know, think of your grocery bill. That stuff has come down as well.
Mm-hmm.
And largely because of imports and our ability to get those kinds of commodities at reduced prices from around the world. So that if you're in the middle class, while you're not necessarily seeing a price increase, or rather a wage increase, your purchasing power has either stayed the same or gone up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that kind of...
Despite the fact you may not be making more money.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. So you might not feel that you've been upwardly mobile.
Right.
You might not feel that this economy is really working for you. And yet from a consumer perspective, which is after all 70% of the economy, you're doing okay.
Well, as we get ready to close out the year, the numbers will be very impressive, though, won't they, the bottom line?
The bottom line numbers are going to be up. Look, we've got 2 weeks. Who knows what's going to happen?
What did you predict at the going back to last year?
Oh, you're going to remind me that?
I thought, why not ruin your day?
Well, okay, so we started off
thinking, I'm going to guess 6 or 7%.
6 to 10%. We talked about high single digits.
Yeah.
And we're going to be probably closer, if the trend continues, we could be in the 17 to 18% range on the Dow. And that's a very good year.
Nobody predicted that.
Nobody predicted it, and nobody... Even today is scratching their heads and saying, what in the world is causing this? Why isn't there inflation? Why aren't we seeing more caution given everything that's going on in the world? But instead, you know, we're on this ride. It's a great ride, and people are enjoying the heck out of it. After all, if you see, you know, your monthly statement come in or your quarterly statement come in and your, you know, relatively aggressive portfolio is up 16-17% for the year, you're scratching your head and saying, you know, it's time to go out and party. And that's a good thing. Even if you have a relatively conservative portfolio and, you know, with a mix of fixed income and equities, mm-hmm. you're still up in the range of 8-10% for the year. And, you know, when you and your advisor were saying expect 5 or 6%, you know, you're ahead of the game there. So this is for those people who are invested, and that is by
most
no means
people,
everybody.
Right? Yeah.
No, it's not.
Not. Okay.
It's still a slice of the American population that I think is a minority, even counting 401ks.
Really?
But I'd have to look at that. Mm-hmm. But for that percentage of the population, you know, that's a good news story.
Should we save your prediction for next year until next week?
Well, I want to see what happens with the tax bill.
Okay.
I want to see what happens.
Well, we still have a couple more Tuesdays before the end of the year. So
yeah, we also want to see Remember, we've had a couple of good quarters of GDP growth.
Right, right.
And not phenomenal quarters. It's still below some averages. But if we have another 3% or close to 3% quarter, then that sets up next year to be a very successful year, barring, you know, anything that comes out of left field.
All right. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Good to see you. Have a great week. Folks kind of frantic, starting to get frantic with the holidays. And
yeah.
Thanks so much.
But we will be doing next week.
We will. See you next Tuesday. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, you might notice ads personalized to you called interest-based advertising. If you want to opt out, download the App Choices app. Second tip, make sure your device is backed up in case you are attacked by hackers. Don't lose all your data and memories. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented this portion by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a historic area of the southwestern United States. Only a three-hour drive from Tucson, and there is so much to do. Explore historic Silver City, camp, hike, just relax in a lovely environment. Of course, there's the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, just north of Silver City. The full listing of probably about 24 places to stay in Silver City and many recreation ideas listed on the website southwestnewmexico.org. The Southwest Books of the Year competition began in 1977 by the Arizona Daily Star and continued in the year 2000 by the Pima County Public Library. The Southwest Books of the Year Best Reading Publication is published by the Southwest Literature Project of the Pima County Public Library in partnership with the Friends of the Pima County Public Library and the Arizona Historical Society. Books selected by two or more of the five reviewers become a top pick. This year there are 8 top picks, which we'll discuss for each segment here over the next 25 minutes or so. Two of the five reviewers are with us on the Buckmaster Show to talk about the cream of the crop of this year's submissions. Dr. Bruce Dingus is the retired director of publications for the Arizona Historical Society. He's been a Southwest Books of the Year panelist since 1987. Helene Woodhams is the literary arts librarian for Pima County Public Libraries and co-chairs the literary committee of the Tucson Festival of Books. She's been the coordinator of Southwest Books of the Year since 2006. Helene and Bruce, good to see you both.
Well, it's lovely to see you. Thank you for having us. If you don't mind, I'm going to jump in here quickly. I no longer co-chair the author committee of the Tucson Festival of Books.
It's
been
you're not.
Terrific experience. There are some wonderful new co-chairs there, and I'm still happy to work with the committee. But I didn't want to scare them away.
All right.
So I thought I should mention that.
Bruce, overall, what do you think of this year's crop of books? And I've been doing this on TV and radio now for many years, and 7 or 8 is kind of a smaller group. I mean, I think I've had as many as you have had as many as 12 or 13.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to explain that either. We've all grown into be more of one of accord, or if there's just a smaller group this year. We've had this discussion a lot over the years, and it seems to me that, you know, we agonize during the year, well, we're going to have enough good books, or aren't we, or whatever. But when you come right down to it, the books we end up with are they'll stand up against any other year, and that's the way I feel about this one.
First book we're going to talk about, The Blinds, is the title. Adam Sternberg. Bruce, this was one of your picks.
This was a surprise for me. It's a thriller, which is not a genre I read a lot of. And in the interest of full disclosure, I read this during a howling windstorm in a camper in Flagstaff, and I was hard put to put it down. It's a small West Texas town populated by 4 dozen people, all of whom we learn as in the course of the book are convicted murderers who have agreed to have their memories erased if they could live, the only stipulation is they could never leave this town. And there's a suicide and then three murders that follow. And so it's a thriller. It works just great. But there's more to it than that. Sternberg has written other books, which I'm not familiar with, sadly, but there's an existential part to this. And it's a question of who are we if we don't have memories? And it's also a little bit funny because when you come to this town, you have to choose a new name, and it has to be
a combination of a movie star and a U.S. vice president. So
one
of the characters is Errol Colfax, who, of course, is named after Errol Flynn and President Grant's vice president, Schuyler Colfax.
Adam Sternberg, do you know much about this author?
I don't, but I'm going to read more. He's written one or two more books.
All right. The name of the book, again, The Blinds by Adam Sternberg. Helene, one of your picks, Some Rise by Sin by Philip Caputo, who lives in Patagonia part of the year.
He does live in Patagonia part of the year and spends the rest of the year in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And you might recently have seen him on Ken Burns' Civil War, Vietnam War.
Right. Because of his, he wrote extensively about the Vietnam War.
He did. Yeah. And served, so it was all mm-hmm. taken from experience. This book is a novel, summarized by Sin. The title is a quote from Shakespeare, From Measure for Measure, and if we stretch it out a bit, it's Summarized by Sin and Some by Virtue Fall.
Hmm.
And the title speaks to the question of faith and moral ambiguity at the heart of this tightly plotted, really page-turner of a thriller. There's a small Mexican village of San Patricio, and it's being menaced by a brutal drug cartel called La Fraternidad. The village forms a vigilante group to fight back because they're mm-hmm. not getting anywhere any other way. But the Mexican army and the police don't care for this because they don't want armed municipalities getting ideas beyond drug cartels. And in fact, they have no more regard for the villagers than the cartel does, so they disarm the vigilante group, and two innocent villagers are killed. Enter Timothy Reardon. Father Timothy Reardon is a motorcycle-riding Franciscan priest, and he is also the de facto peace broker. He finds himself in the crosshairs behind this deranged drug cartel jefe and the police commander and the Federale army captain, and it's a world where no one can be trusted and no one really is, there's no goodness in anyone. And all Reardon wants to do is help his parishioners in this remote village. They're beset by violence and by poverty, and there's very little he can do. He's joined at times by the village doctor, who's an American named Lisette Moreno. She also wonders what she can possibly do to make a difference in the lives of these people, and struggling to bring them into the 21st century medically, while at the same time keeping secret an unconventional love affair that she's having that would just scandalize the community.
Rich characterization, it sounds like, in
it's
this one.
It's fabulous.
And that book, again, is Some Rise by Sin, Philip Caputo, published by Henry Holt. Bruce, that book, I think four of the five reviewers gave that a best read. So everybody liked that one pretty much.
Everyone liked it a lot.
Critical Assembly, Bruce Dingus, Poems of the Manhattan Project. This is published by the University of New Mexico Press by John Candidate.
This is a book I almost didn't read. It just proves that you can't judge a book by its title or its cover. I passed on it and then got an email from Christine Wald Hopkins, another of our reviewers, and asked me, have you read this? I think you need to. So I immediately downloaded it onto my Kindle. And it's an amazing book. It's a volume of poetry. It's 160 poems. In the voices of 40 different characters, all of them connected with the Manhattan Project in one way or another, scientists, soldiers, civilians, and each of them is told in a distinctive voice. And it turns out that the author has been working on this for 30 years, doing primary research and sketching out these poems. I've never seen anything quite like it, and there's short biographies in the back of the characters, a bibliography to a book of poetry, which I've never seen before.
Wow.
And an afterword about what this all means. And it really captures the essence philosophically and spiritually of these people who were involved in something that truly changed the planet.
Yeah. Critical Assembly, Poems of the Manhattan Project, John Candidate, University of New Mexico Press. Let's see if we can get one more in here before the break. The Talker by... this is from fiction writer, journalist, sometime NPR commentator, Mary Sojourner, who's been a guest on this program a couple of times. The book is called The Talker. And Helene, this was one of your picks.
Well, we looked at several short story collections this year, and they were good. It was kind of hard to choose. But the thing that sealed the deal for me on this book were the characters. Sojourner's characters will stay with you long after you put down this real gem of a collection. They're working class people, and life doesn't always treat them well. They're down on their luck, or they're grieving, or they're addicted. They might be in a bad relationship. They're making bad choices, and they're often just one step away from total self-destruction. And the thing about Sojourner is that she understands these people. She doesn't judge them. She's a compassionate narrator. And you understand that grace happens, that there's always a shot at redemption. Criswold Hopkins mentions in her review that the only thing that doesn't need healing in this book is the landscape, which is just beautifully rendered, a perfect blue heron, a Joshua tree, the gritty dust of the Mojave Desert. Sojourner just conveys this all so lovingly. As you mentioned, she's an environmental and social justice activist.
Lives in Flagstaff, I think, or used to for a while.
This is what I understand. Yeah. I think that she's on NPR in Flagstaff.
Right. Yeah. This sounds like a terrific collection of short fiction by Mary Sojourner.
And one novella at the end.
A novella, okay, and again, the title there is The Talker. If you're just joining us, we are doing the Southwest Books of the Year, the announcing the winners right here exclusively for the first time on the Buckmaster Show. We'll go over all of the eight picks, certainly at the end of the segment, but we have four more to talk about after the break. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootoole.org/holidaynights.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport, and when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights, and with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's our annual Southwest Books of the Year competition here on the Buckmaster Show. We like to reveal, and that's what we're doing today, who the top picks were from the five judges. And there are eight top picks this year for the Southwest Books of the Year competition, which started back in 1977 by the Arizona Daily Star, and Pima County Public Library has really been involved since the year 2000. They do a great job. Helene Woodhams is with us, and Bruce Dingus, two of the five judges. Helene, Gregory McNamee's book, published by the University of New Mexico Press. Gregory was a guest on the program just a couple of weeks ago here on the Buckmaster Show, and his book, I didn't put it down. I actually read half of it one night and half the next, and it's titled Tortillas, Tiswin, and T-Bones, A Food History of the Southwest, and I learned that Tiswin is like
fermented corn, I think.
That was originally done, I guess, up on the White Mountain Apache Nation.
And is not terribly alcoholic.
No.
It's just lightly alcoholic.
Just a light touch, right? This was a fun book.
It was a very fun book. Greg McNamee mentions in the book that he came to Tucson in 1975, and I privately suspect that he's done quite a lot of thinking about food since then.
Oh, yeah.
And we are the winners for that, mm-hmm. because what he doesn't know about Southwest cuisine and its history probably really isn't worth knowing at all. And he shares his knowledge in a really entertaining way. Each chapter is dedicated to an individual or a group or an entity that had something to do with Southwest cuisine, and he takes you through minutia and just interesting tidbits. And you get to the section on explorers, and he talks about what Montezuma served Cortez. He talks about chili and about how if you are from Texas, your chili is spelled with an I. Otherwise, it's spelled with an E.
This is the kind of book I really like. It's kind of part travelogue, part history, part cultural insight. I really like this type of book.
And recipes.
Yeah, recipes
There's no end of fascinating stuff in this book.
I'm on board with this one.
If you eat dinner in the Southwest, you should read this book.
All right, another one I'm on board with, my friend Jack Dikinga. What can you say? I mean, Jack is pretty much done it all in photography, Bruce Dingus, Pulitzer Prize winner. Jack kind of put together a retrospective of his career. It's titled A Photographer's Life, A Journey from Pulitzer Prize-winning Photojournalist to Celebrated Nature Photographer.
Yeah, anybody who's picked up a copy of Arizona Highways in the last 30 years knows who Jack Dikinga was. His friend Chuck Bowden called him a pornographer of nature, and I think if you've seen his photographs, you know what Chuck meant. And Jack had a life-changing experience when he was about 70, a couple of years ago, when he was 71, he had a double lung transplant. And this book is an unusual biography because it's payback. It's a homage to all the people who helped him get where he where he is today. And so there are chapters devoted to Chuck and other people that that were played major portions of his
The collaborations with Bowden were legendary, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and beyond that, it's the photography in here is stunningly reproduced, and Jack takes the time to explain how and why the photographs were taken and how they were composed. So it's just a delight for everybody.
I really like the book, Photographer's Life, A Journey from Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist to celebrated nature photographer by Jack Dikinga. Publisher is Rocky Nook, Inc. Our next book, Helene, let's turn to you. Speaking of nature, how about Utah's Grand Staircase? The title of the book is Where Dinosaurs Roamed, Lost Worlds of Utah's Grand Staircase. The publisher is Christina Sadler. Not publisher.
Well, she's the author.
The author, excuse me.
Well, the Grand Staircase Escalante region is one of the world's richest fossil sites and the best place to study the late Cretaceous period, which is the end of the dinosaur age. Scientists have been able to recreate entire ecosystems from their findings there that date back between 74 and 100 million years. And in this book, they discuss their findings and their discoveries and so forth. And this is terribly geeky. And why should we care about this at all?
Right.
But the fact is, this is a glorious book. The pictures are astounding. It's got spectacular panoramas. It has photos of fossils. And it has these fact is stranger than fiction moments of gigantic dinosaurs with 15 horns or 30 feet long alligators and so forth that will just wow your kids and will wow the scientist in you. And it's just an enormously fun read in that way. But most importantly, this book makes us aware of what scientists' findings are telling us about climate change over time. This is a very hot time. It was humid. It was there was a lot of carbon dioxide in the air, and how did species survive? And this is maybe pointing us towards what our future is going to look like. So this book is enormously valuable on a number of levels.
Where Dinosaurs Roamed, Lost Worlds of Utah's Grand Staircase. And that is, many say this is one of the reasons why we need the Escalante Grand Staircase National Monument.
The sad thing is that here you have these dinosaurs, all this marvelous research being done, and the reason that perhaps it wouldn't be done is because of the coal that they became.
All right, our eighth book of our best picks is titled Sycamore. Bruce Dingus, this was one of your picks. The author, is it Bruce Chandler? How is that?
Bryn Chancellor.
Bryn Chancellor, okay. Published by HarperCollins.
Yeah, and this is a spectacular debut novel. It's set in a fictional town in north central Arizona. As far as I can tell, it's sort of she's conflated Clarkdale and Cottonwood. And the book opens with the bones being discovered in a creek bed, and they turn out to be the bones of a young girl, a teenage girl, who had disappeared 20 years earlier. And the book then is told in alternating perspectives from the missing girl's perspective, her friends, her family, even just casual acquaintances. And what you find out is that lives have an impact far beyond what we can imagine. It's like a pebble thrown into a pool. And she had an incredible impact on all of the people that touched her life and vice versa. And the book itself is just told in really rich language, and it's really a unique kind of perspective.
And it's a debut novel.
Debut novel.
Do we know anything about this author?
She teaches at the University of North Carolina. And she's going to be at the book festival.
And she has a collection of short stories, I believe.
All right, let's go through these again so folks can make some notes. The Blinds by Adam Sternberg. Bruce gave us in the first segment a very nice kind of overview. That sounds really fun, Bruce. The characterization, again, that sounds like there's some really wild folks involved in that one. Critical Assembly, Poems of the Manhattan Project by John Kanaday, University of New Mexico Press. Bruce, you said you've never really seen anything quite like this
one. You will be surprised as I was, pleasantly.
A Photographer's Life, A Journey from Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist to celebrated nature photographer. That's kind of Jack Dikinga's as they say, well, it's kind of his life story there, and it's beautifully illustrated. Philip Caputo, part-time local guy here in southern Arizona, very well-known, highly honored journalist. Some Rise by Sin, published by Henry Holt. Sycamore, debut novel. It's published by HarperCollins. The last name is Chancellor. First name, Bruce, was
Bryn.
Bryn. Okay, Bryn Chancellor. The Talker by Mary Sojourner. This is a really nice collection of short fiction and a novella
and
at the end, Helene. Mm-hmm. Tortillas, Tiswin, and T-Bones, A Food History of the Southwest, Gregory McNamee, University of New Mexico Press, Where Dinosaurs Roamed, Lost Worlds of Utah's Grand Staircase, got them all in. And these, the Pima County Public Libraries will have kind of an overview as well, a beautiful pamphlet that you publish every year that will be in your local library.
That's right, starting next week.
All right. Helene Williams, thank you very much. Good to see you, Helene.
Thank you for having me.
And Bruce Dingus, always a pleasure. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, we have Mike Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 5. Ray Allen, my friend who engineers and produces my show, helps Mike out. Also this afternoon, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. We have Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, among other guests, tomorrow on the program. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.